cheer up.
Not as bad as you think it is. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
You're listening to Key Life, practical principles for daily living. I'm Mike Kellogg, and our teacher is Steve Brown. Now, let's study the Bible together. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Joshua. I am fulfilling the role of a tour guide as we continue with our Old Testament survey, and I'm taking you through some of the major themes. Well, they're my favorite verses right now. We spent some time week before last on major themes and who wrote Joshua, when it was written, and all that kind of stuff. I just want Christians to be able to love the Older Testament. You know, if you just carry around a New Testament, that's not the Bible. I have an Old Testament professor friend who says it's God's addendum to his book. And I don't know if I'd go that far, because the New Testament professors at the seminary are not real happy with that kind of statement. But we must learn to see the Bible in its entirety. And I fear that sometimes Christians miss so much that's so very good, but not spending time in the Old. And it can be intimidating. So what I'm doing is simply giving you some handles so you can go to these books. And we're going to go through the entire Old Testament. We're up to the book of Joshua. Let me give you something I got from a friend. He's not somebody that I see a lot. In fact, we've only seen each other probably three or four times in the last bazillion years. But we write a lot, and we've written a lot. We like each other, and we agree on a lot of stuff. And we disagree on a lot of stuff. But he loves the book of Joshua. Let me show you a theme that you'll find running throughout Joshua that I got primarily from my friend John Neff. He wrote in an email he sent me just a few days ago, I love the book of Joshua. It's so rich with God's assurance that he would take care of the results, and all we had to do is to obey God. Now, let me give you some verses, and it starts, and we made a little bit mention to it, but let me show you. Joshua 1:9, have I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua 8:1, and the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, and go to Ai, and see, I have given into thy hand the king and his people, and his city and his land. Then in the 10th chapter of Joshua, the 8th verse, and the Lord said to Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not be a man of them stand before thee. And it goes on and on. Joshua 11:6, and the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. Tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up, all slain before Israel, and thou shalt have their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And it goes on and on. You find it throughout the book of Joshua. What does that say to us today? That we ought to go to Canaan and do what they did? No, they're weird Christians who misapply God's promises, when actually the promises are a reflection of God's nature. What is God's nature? God's nature is to have a particular concern for his covenant people as they walk in his ways. What has God told you to do? You say, well, I'm just a mother. I don't know if I do a lot of random evangelism or whether I can really be too involved in the church. I got these three little kids, and they keep, listen, that's what God told you to do. God told you to be a mother, to give everything you've got to the place where he put you. And listen to me, as you do that, he'll take care of the rest. You say, well, I'm a single mother, and I've got to work. What does God want me to do? Maybe he wants you to work. And to do all you can to fulfill the role of motherhood also. And you be faithful to the place where God is. Do what you have to do. You'll take care of the rest. Sometimes I look at this broadcast and I think, oh, man, got all these radio stations and all this, all these bills that pile up. I don't know. I mean, what if we bring this honor on God's name and I can't pay these bills or pay the salaries of all these people? And no, this is not a fundraising call. Well, maybe. No, not really. But, you know, that's existentially where I am a lot of the time. And God sometimes says, through the book of Joshua, Stephen, did I call you to do this? Yeah, you did. It may have been Rich Little, but it sounded like you. and it was him. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. You know, whatever. I'm doing what I'm, and I got to let him deal with the rest. What's the point? The point is this. Whatever God calls you to do, just do it. You say, well, what will people think? Don't worry about that. Say, what if I lose? Don't worry about that. What if I can't pay the mortgage? Don't worry about that. Do what he told you to do. Make sure, so you don't do anything really dumb, make sure that God told you to do, and then do it. And then he'll provide his protection, and he will provide his provision. I was a pastor for a lot of years, and I can't tell you the number of times when I thought the church was going to go down. I thought it's over. And it's a shame, because the church has been around a long time, but it never did. God said, quit worrying about that. Just do what I told you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. And so, on this broadcast, he told me to tell you, do what you're supposed to do, and he'll take care of the rest. You think about that. Amen. Well, I'll show you some more about Joshua tomorrow, but we got a few minutes, and it's my practice on Wednesday to take some time to answer some questions, and we love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, but if you want a response, and you do get one from me or a staff member or on the broadcast or in the magazine, you've got to give us your regular mailing address when you email us. And don't use the 1-800 number for questions. Well, you can. You just won't get any answers. You can make orders, a contribution. You can get the question and answer booklet that we're offering this month. A lot of neat stuff become a part of Key Life Tapes from the 1-800 number. But you got to write the questions now. All right. Let me get to some of these. Well, this isn't exactly a question, and it says at the top of it, not for broadcast or publication, so I must be very careful at what I say. But I did tell the person who wrote this that I was going to deal with it on the broadcast because he made a good point. Now, he said some nice things about Key Life, and I want you to know that. So this isn't somebody who thinks I'm ugly and my mother dresses me funny, but he was quite upset with something I said about Clark Tennant. Somebody asked me what I thought about process theology, or it's called by a number of other names, but it's the idea. It's called openness theology. It's called that God hasn't made up his mind yet theology kind of stuff. And Clark Pinnock is, and there's some others, but Clark Pinnock, who's a Canadian guy, theologian, teaches at a Canadian institution, is the man who is the most associated with that. And in my always mild and kind and gentle and loving and Christian way, I made short answer to the question and said, it's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. And then I went on to the next question. Oh, I'm repenting in sackcloth and ashes. Not of my negative view of openness theology, but my friend suggested that I thought that Clark Pinnock was from the pit of hell and that what he does the devil's business and stuff like that. Clark Pinnock, and I've never met him, but I think he's probably, from what my friend said, a really nice man who loves Jesus and is kind and probably likes dogs and he writes good. But dear friend, he's wrong. And he's really, really, really wrong. And I think, and this is an opinion, and you ask me, that the theological position that he holds is very, very dangerous to Orthodox, apostolic, biblical Christianity. Now, you see, before I go on to this question, that ought to be sufficient. Clark, if you're listening, you're a lot better looking than I am, but you're wrong. But if you've been listening to this broadcast, I often say without thinking, if I don't like something, it's from the pit of hell and it smells like smoke. That's kind of a colloquial expression, like I really don't like it a lot. And people who have been listening to this broadcast for years have learned to translate it that way and to quit writing letters. But I realize that we have new listeners every day, Dickie Life, and so I'm going to try to do better. Dear friend in Canada, I probably won't. Well, I might, but I've tried to do better in the past. I have done better, but I am going to try, and I really have prayed about it, and you made a very good point. So, enough. And if that isn't enough, deal with it. This is from North Carolina. What version of the Bible is best today? You know, there's so many great versions of the Bible. And Christians become serial killers about the subject. When I read John Neff's earlier in the broadcast today, John Neff's quotes, they were from the King James Version, 1611. And generally, I use the New King James on the broadcast. I sometimes use the American Standard. I sometimes use the International. And I want you to know, most Christians, in fact, all Christians I know, can get a whole lot out of all honest translations. And they can find a whole lot more that God tells them to do than they're doing right now. And so I would suggest that if it's a reasonably good translation, take it and study it. It can really apply to you in your life. And ignore those people who find one word in Isaiah that they think ought to be translated differently. If you're looking for a very accurate word-by-word translation, the New American Standard is probably good. If you're looking for a good colloquial translation that you can understand, the Old Living Bible, the New Living Bible is a little bit more literal. If you like one that sounds better than all the others combined but has some problems with it, read 1611, the New King, or the King James. If you want one that still has the ring of it, read the New King James. If you want, well, that's enough. It's hard for me to say which is best. And I think if they're honest translations of Scripture and honest representations of what God has said, then take it to heart and apply it in your life and rejoice in God's grace and dance. Do it without looking at your feet. All right, I gotta go. That's enough for today. Whenever you write or call, be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. And oh, yes, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.